Hello. We're glad that you have decided to have a look at our website, Bringing the Word of Life. And we do sincerely trust that what you find will be a help to you, and that as you read it and listen to these gospel messages, that there will be a real blessing. I want you to think with me of the greatest event that this world has ever seen. The record for it is found in each one of the gospel writers, in Matthew and in Mark, in Luke and in John. But I'm going to read a verse from Luke's record of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 33 of his Gospel, chapter 23, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left." I want you to concentrate your mind for a few moments on those words, "they crucified him." Who were they? They were the Jewish leaders of the day, along with the Roman soldiers, under the auspices of the Roman governor. They crucified, what was that? That was a very cruel form of capital punishment, where a prisoner was nailed upon a cross, alive, nailed to that wooden cross, and left to die upon the cross. Sometimes it took days before the victim would die. They crucified him. Who is him? From the Bible and from the record that we've read, he is none less than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want you to think of the enormous implications of those three words. Sinful men, they. Suffering Savior, they crucified him. The Son of God, the Creator of the world, taken and nailed upon a cross. If you were to read each of the Gospel writers, Matthew and Mark and Luke, they in their own way describe this foul deed by mankind, the slaughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside the wall of Jerusalem city about 2,000 years ago, they took him after a mock trial and they nailed him upon a cross. Each one of the Gospel writers has his own particular emphasis as he records it. Those particular things about that event that impressed him, he puts it into writing. But one thing that each of them puts are these words: they crucified him. Why did they put those words? They don't just say they killed him. They don't just say they slew him. Each of them says in his own way that they crucified him, the Lord Jesus. Well, the word crucify means to attach a person to a cross and to kill them upon the cross. But the fact that it was a cross is very significant in the Bible, because the cross indicates a special curse upon the victim. That special curse was the curse of the world's sin. By the Lord Jesus allowing men to nail him to the cross, he was accepting the curse of mankind's sin upon himself. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, there the Word of God says, "Christ died for the ungodly." 1 Peter chapter 3:18 says that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And here in Luke chapter 23, where we have read the record, if we had read the whole chapter, you will see the Lord Jesus in four different positions or in relation to four different people. And I would like you to take the time to read down the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. I want you to see him firstly, he's seen before Pilate, the Roman governor at that time. Then he's seen beside Barabbas, cruel, murdering, political prisoner. Then later in the chapter he's seen between two thieves, two criminals who were crucified for their crimes against the state. Then the Lord Jesus is seen lastly beneath the judgment of God. Before Pilate, he's viewed as a troublemaker. The Jewish leaders have had him arrested, brought before the Roman governor to stand in the Roman court. And he's presented before Pilate as a troublemaker. Pilate, he cannot assuage the anger of the crowd, fearing a revolt in the nation that would threaten his position as the Roman governor, he decides to try and placate the crowd by offering to them the choice between Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Barabbas, who was a notable prisoner who was held, that is a very well-known prisoner who was held in prison at that time. And he brings the two men out, Barabbas and the Lord Jesus, standing side by side. And if before Pilate the Lord Jesus is viewed as a troublemaker, as he stands beside Barabbas, he's viewed as an unacceptable choice. As far as the crowd are concerned, they'd rather have a murderer. They'd rather have Barabbas. Just the choice is unacceptable. The alternative is a definite no. As far as the crowd is concerned, he's an unacceptable choice. Then, later in the story, he's seen between two criminals after Pilate had offered the release of Barabbas or the Lord Jesus, perhaps hoping that the crowd would ask for the Lord Jesus, and this man that he didn't want to condemn would be released. That didn't work. They had to take the Lord Jesus and condemn him. He flogged him, he scourged him, he handed him over to a centurion and a quartarian of soldiers, and they took him outside the wall of the city and they nailed him upon a cross. But he wasn't alone. There were two thieves crucified with him, one on one side, one on the other. And as he hung between those thieves, a conversation develops, firstly between the two thieves. They begin to discuss the Lord Jesus. One of them is mocking him and jeering him and taunting him, and his friend, the thief on the other side, he says to him that he would need to consider what he's saying, because the Lord Jesus is a just man. The Lord Jesus is suffering wrongfully. And eventually that second thief who corrected the first one in what he was saying, he turned to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And as far as the Lord Jesus between those two thieves is concerned, he is seen as the saving Lord, the one who could save a thief, even an evil man like a thief, a criminal who deserved to die by the laws of the land. He was able to save him. So before Pilate, he is seen as a troublemaker. Beside Barabbas, he is seen as an unacceptable choice. Between the two thieves, he is seen as the saving Lord, the one who can save one and bring him to heaven. In fact, listen to the promise that he gave the thief that trusted in him. He said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That very day, that thief was going to be in heaven. His sins had been forgiven. His soul had been saved. He was ready for heaven. But then, in all of this, nailed to the tree, the Lord Jesus is seen beneath the judgment of God. That is, the one who was bearing our sins, in the words of Peter, bearing our sins in his own body upon the tree. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, concerning the Lord Jesus, who his own self, all alone, no one else with him, all alone before his God, he bare, that is, he carried, he bore up beneath our sins, the load of our sins, and that was in his own body, upon the tree. What is your attitude to the Lord Jesus? Is it like the Jewish leaders? Outright rejection of his claims to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Or is it like Pilate before whom he stood? Is it cold indifference, just like the Roman governor in his court, dismissive of the claims of this man to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God? It would be good if your attitude was like that of the thief, asking for forgiveness from your eternal doom. If you ask the Lord Jesus for forgiveness, you will receive that. Why? Because he was beneath the judgment of God for your sake upon the cross. A verse that means a lot to me is found in Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament, verse 5. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, the Bible says there, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, that is, the punishment to bring us peace, was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you were to accept that, believe that message, trust the Lord Jesus, no longer would you be rejecting him. No longer would you be like Pilate, indifferent to him, but you would be like the thief who upon the cross got saved, his sins were forgiven. You would be trusting in the one who suffered beneath the judgment of God for your sins. Thank you for listening. Do make a point of reading the gospel record, the record of the death, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and remember, it was for your sins. Thank you.